As you can see, our projector is a little bit like me, a bit worse for wear, falling to bits in places. over 60 crumbs. This Christmas, that'll be 65, so God is gracious. Just before we begin and hopefully have ears that will hear and eyes that will see, just to say that remember in your prayers those that can't be with us. So if you would remember Sonia, as she's pretty much home housebound, but part of our church, just because they don't fellowship with us doesn't mean that they're not important to us. And for Jenny, who's in the care home, just bear these two lovely ladies in your prayers, please. I'm going to be talking today about fear. Now, the Bible says, fear not, many times. God in his graciousness says to us, fear not, many times. Jesus says, fear not, for I am with you many times. And isn't it easy to say and hard sometimes to live? And during worship, I just wrote something down and it says, fear is not fatal unless it is final. I'll say that again. Fear is not fatal unless it is final. God says, no weapon forged against us will prosper, but every word, every accusation that rises up against us will be put under our feet. But there are times, I suggest, that fear can paralyze us. Before I read scripture, I'll share some of my instances. You've heard me say this before. When I was a youngster or a teenager, I used to go from North Lynn to Gaywood, and I'd walk across dark areas, and I would be afraid of the dark. I know, hard to believe, but I was not a very confident person. So as I would walk through near the cemetery, I would talk to myself. So if there's anybody behind a tree, they'd think there was two of us, so they wouldn't attack. That's how fearful I was. But it didn't stop me from going and getting to my destination. I don't like flying. I would say I'm fearful of flying, but it doesn't stop me from going to my destination. When I was younger, I always dreamt of having my own business, but I never would do it because fear would always stop me. And I know there's some people in this room that would identify with that. And it wasn't until I got made redundant or I got laid off from my job that I had nothing to lose. You see, one of the reasons why for me it was always a difficult journey is because apart from Susan, my wife, I had nobody to cheer me on to say, you can do this, Andrew. And fear would always be in the back of my mind. And fear tried to paralyze me. And maybe at times fear has tried to paralyze you. So I want to just touch on this subject because as Christians, we can be anxious. The Bible says, don't be anxious about anything. But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard not to be anxious. I had a phone call from somebody who was in hospital. And what struck me was how anxious they were and how afraid they were. And at that point, I was feeling a bit insignificant within the ministry God had given me. And after I'd spoken with this man and I prayed with this man and ministered in a way that God allows you to minister just by bringing words of exaltation, bringing words of adoration, leading people back to the center, which is Christ. And then hearing words, thank you, I feel so much better. I think I will sleep well tonight. Our words are important. And sometimes when people are anxious, we can think, well, just get over it. But it's not always that easy. So I want to give you some scripture to encourage you, to challenge you, to encourage you. Is that okay? We have an hour we could share together, but maybe so you don't get anxious, we'll make it half. I want to read quite a few scriptures out and see what the Lord says to us. When we look in Genesis 8, if you read this portion of scripture, it's a creation story, and God gives everything to man and woman, and he says, everything is yours apart from the tree that's in the center. And we understand this story. If you don't, come and talk to me. I'll lead you to this passage of scripture and talk you through it. But God says, you can do all of this, but don't do that. And Susan and I, as when we were young Christians, we were on a parenting course, and there was a guy called Dr. Ian Dobson, I think his name was, and he had some insight for parents. And it's innate, it's in us. And this father said to his child, they was at a football match, and they got there early, and his daughter started playing, and he said, look, you can do whatever you want, sweetheart, but don't cross this line. Don't go onto the pitch. So she's playing in the bleachers or whatever you call it. This was in America. And she gets down to the bottom and she looks at her dad and she goes... Now, that's willful defiance, isn't it? Not childish irresponsibility. And so we can look at this portion of Scripture and we can see the willful defiance within man. And what happened from there on, there was something that happened in Adam and Eve's life, and I want to pick it up in verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid." And there's something that happened to this couple. The day before, they had no idea what sin was. The next day, they saw their nakedness. And in this portion of Scripture, in Isaiah 59, it says, "There, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save." Now, that's a good thing for us to hear, isn't it? "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear." God hears us. He saves us. He encourages us. But listen to what it says in verse 2. "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that you will not hear." See, when we look at what happened in the garden, the Bible is an illuminating truth of God's word, his life, and it's a word for our living. It's alive, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. There's a thread that runs right the way through. You can take any scripture and you can put it on the back of another scripture and you'll see God's breathed into it. And what happens is sin separates us from God. So Adam and Eve were fearful because they were separated from God's goodness, God's grace, because of sin. Now, here's the good news. If you're a Christian, if you're spirit-filled in the sense that you've asked God to come into your life, you've been saved, you've been set free, but there's still a work of the enemy that goes around, because the Bible says he prowls around like a lion trying to devour us. Trying to whisper in our ears and say, "You're never going to be good enough. You can't do this. You'll never accomplish that." Within the world, we expect the world to do that, don't we? But so often, as Christians, as people that are on this journey of faith, we can still listen to that voice that reminds us of what someone said years ago. "You'll never amount to anything. You'll never be able to do that. You'll never be able to climb that tree. You'll never be able to walk that distance. You'll never be able to accomplish these things." There's a testimony I was listening to about a month ago. And it was a pastor talking to one of his deacons in the church. And this particular deacon was, in a worldly sense, you know, when you look on the outside, very successful man. He had a thriving dentist's practice. He was a generous man. He was an honorable man. He had morals. He was grounded in God's word. He had a beautiful wife and lovely children. And he sat in the office one day and the pastor said, what's wrong? He said, "Well, I feel such a failure." And he said, "What do you mean you feel such a failure?" He said, and then he repeated what I've just said to you. He said, "You are a success." He said, "Yeah, but my dad said I'd never amount to anything." Can you get the point? That one person said to him, "You'll never achieve." And yet he achieved because he allowed God into his life. And yet in his mind, he was still oppressed. He was still depressed. He was still fearful. He was still anxious. So even though we're Christians, at times we can suffer with anxiety. Like I said, for me, I don't like getting on a plane, but I've made a decision that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. I'm going to go. I'm going to go believing that it will land and it will land safely. Why? Because fear is not final unless it's fatal. And God says it's not fatal if you trust me. So if you feel paralyzed in any part of your life or anxious in any part of your life, let's not trivialize it. Let's not say it doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters to God. It matters to me. It should matter to you, because the enemy will stop you in your tracks. And God says, "I want you to move forward. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be all that I've called you to be." But it's not easy at times, because we can come to church and we can see other people who smile all the time. Their life is all in order and you seem to be in a mess. I'm not looking at anybody. You see, when Susan and I were young Christians, just before we left the church, for church, I'd have to close the windows so our neighbours who were elders wouldn't hear us arguing. And then we'd get in the car and that would be round two, and then we'd get to church and I'd be, "How are you?" "Oh, I'm fine, thank you very much. My wife tried to kill me." You get the point. It wasn't quite that bad. Well, maybe it was. But you see, there's times we come into church and we want to be someone else because we don't always like who we are. Well, God loves who you are because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he's given me an opportunity to be able to articulate some of the things that we may be thinking at times. And if you don't, you may be able to help someone else. You may be able to see someone else who's walking this journey. Someone in the coffee shop. Someone who doesn't know who Jesus is. When you talk about being saved, they're going, "Saved from what?" But they want to know that you care. They want to know that you have wisdom. And we can bring this word afresh to individuals, those that are struggling. The vision that we have is Isaiah 61, to bind up the broken hearts and set the captives free. There's many people in church that are captive. They're held captive by their thoughts. They're held captive by words of negativity that parents and grandparents and friends, teachers alike. My teacher said, "Andrew, you'll either be in prison or you'll be a millionaire." Well, I'm waiting for the millions because I'm not going to prison because Jesus set me free from my prison, yes? I've been born again, spirit-filled. I've been set free. But you see how them words, if I allowed those words to digest in my life, then I would be under bondage to that word, and I'm not. We're set free. So I want to say to you, don't allow the puppet master to control you anymore, because God came in through his spirit and cut those chains away, those strings that are holding you in fear. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will keep you from sinning." People remained at a distance. You imagine, it's like God says, don't come and touch the temple because you'll be destroyed. And the people were fearful to go near. And they say to Moses, "You go and talk to God." Have you ever done that? Ever been in a situation where there's something going on and you think someone ought to do something? You go and do that. Because you stand back because you're fearful. Well, Israel was fearful. Now, God doesn't tempt us, but he does test us. You see, the fear of the Lord is a healthy fear. It's the beginning of wisdom. And for those that haven't heard me say this before, I'll say it again. When I was looking through, what is it to fear God? You know, am I supposed to be afraid of this Heavenly Father that saved me, that nurtures me, that loves me, that died for me? It doesn't make sense, does it? To be afraid of a God that saved you and loved you and redeemed you and gives to you. And yet the Bible says, fear God. And I had this illustration, I hope it resonates with you, of a picture of you and your child in a supermarket. And they love to run away, don't they? They love to go and hide. And then you get a bit fed up with it, don't you? Well, I do. Well, imagine you did this. They ran and they hid, so you hid. And as they'd come out to see where you are, you're nowhere to be seen. Could you imagine what's going to happen in that child? I'll tell you what will happen. That child will start to get anxious. Where's mum? Where's dad? Where's dad? Where is he? And then fear will come in. They're not afraid of their dad, are they? They're afraid they can't find him. And that's the fear of the Lord for me, that, "Lord, where are you? I'm not afraid of you. I'm afraid I can't feel you. I can't see you. I can't hear you." So there's a healthy fear that when God comes to test us, that healthy fear will enable us to keep walking forward, enable us to get on that plane, enable us to walk through that dark wood, enable us to start that business, enable us to do the things that we know that we're capable of doing, but we need someone else to tell us. Well, fear will paralyze us if we allow it to be final, but fear, if it's a healthy fear, it will give us opportunities to check. You know what? If there's a fire, fear says, don't put your hand in the flames. It's a healthy fear. There's a healthy fear that says, don't trust everybody. Not everything that glitters is gold. A healthy fear will say, you know, if you're gonna connect yourself with someone, then just walk slowly. That fear can be healthy. But when it destroys us, when it paralyzes us, it's an unhealthy fear. And that's the fear I'm talking about. We want God to come in and move in our lives. So as we wander through God's word, as we look in Deuteronomy 6, verse 24, the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as in the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Now, we're talking here about the law. Now, there's the law and there's freedom from the law. There's righteousness that can be attained by keeping the law, but the law cannot be kept. So there's a righteousness that we need to receive. In the Old Testament, the righteousness that was given was through sacrifice. An animal was sacrificed to atone for the sin of the people. If you understand New Testament scripture, Jesus Christ became the sacrifice, became the atonement, so that our righteousness is found in him. Now, here's a key to fear not. If you're in the world, and what I mean by that is if you're somebody that doesn't want to know who God is, and I'm trusting that you're here because you do want to know what God is, but someone might be listening to this, and they may not know or want to know who God is. Well, the fear that comes will paralyze, because that's the fear of the world. It's destructive. But the fear of the Lord is productive. So it's only in Christ Jesus that you'll be set free. So we have the law. Those that are outside of Christ still have to live according to the law. So they're dead in their sins and transgressions. This journey of fear not, they can't attain. They can try and work towards it, but they'll never get there. Why? Because the Bible tells us that it's only in Christ Jesus that we can be set free from our sin. And we heard from Genesis going through to Deuteronomy that it's sin that separates us from God. So we are Christians. Do we not sin? Of course we do. But we keep short accounts. We ask for forgiveness. God forgives us. We walk a clean life. So that sin doesn't separate us from God. And if we do sin, then we're convicted by it, aren't we? Our conscience is there. We know it. It stops us from doing something. Fear comes in. And it's not until we deal with that sin that fear goes. But that fear will not paralyze you if you keep short accounts with God. So there is a righteousness that comes. But that righteousness is by faith. And that faith is put in Jesus Christ. So I want us to look at what scripture says as we go through Isaiah 11 verse 2. It says, the spirit of the Lord rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees or by his eyes or with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. This is in the Old Testament foretelling Christ's coming. This is about Jesus Christ. He won't just look with his eyes. He won't just listen with his ears. There's a righteousness that will come, and that righteousness will be the standard that he asked his people to live to. But even Jesus Christ said himself, you got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Son is a representation of the Father in flesh. I do nothing unless the Father tells me. There's a healthy relationship there. You see, being fearful of God, not afraid of God, but saying, Lord, where are you? I can't hear you. Lord, I want to be righteous before you, is healthy. And as you allow that healthy attitude, that healthy mindset to come in, it will push out the paralyzing fear. It will push it out. Why? Because we quote scripture. We believe scripture. We take God at his word. We know what his word says. In 1 Samuel 16, 7, it says this, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance. Now, Samuel was sent to anoint the next king. And he kept looking and he kept looking. He saw the tall one, the strong one, the bright one, the one that went to university, the one that said all the right things at the right time. And yet God says, I haven't chosen him. And then he got to a position where there was no one left in the line. And sometimes we can see ourselves like that. Well, maybe it's just me. I've said this before, but for people that are new, whenever we had sports at school, there'd be two teams and two captains, yes? And the captains, whoever could pick first would go for the best. I'll have him. And the other one would say, I'd have him. And I'd be the last one because I was useless at everything. But you know what? God chooses me. He doesn't see me as useless. He sees me as useful. And sometimes, if I allowed that situation to control my life, fear would never allow me to stand in a team sport again. Fear would stop me from being part of team sports. Fear would stop me from being part of a congregation. Why? Because I'd see myself so small and so insignificant because I'm seeing myself through the eyes of someone else, not through the eyes of the Lord. And he said, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. This is why we can come to church, we can go to our functions, we can let people think that we're okay. On the outside, we're smiling. On the outside, we're tall, we're confident. But on the inside, sometimes we crumble. And I'm not necessarily saying it's you. It's a message of encouragement that if you come across someone or one day you find yourself in this position, remember this word, remember this encouragement from God. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. You haven't got to put on airs and graces with God because he looks at the heart. The Bible says it like this, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. I never worry about what to say when I open my mouth because if it's in me and it's good, it'll come out and it'll be good. If it's in me and it's bad, it'll come out and it'll be bad. A tree is known by its fruit. So out of the overflow of the heart, so make sure our hearts are right with God. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand, I've messed up. Yeah, well, so have I. Do you know what? God didn't come for the perfect. He came for the sinful, he came for the weak, he came for the lonely, he came for those that say, I can't. And God says, good, because I can. And the Bible says, for you can do all things through me, Christ, who strengthens you. But you need to have a heart relationship with him first. Does that make sense? You see, all of this is a revelation if you want to know Jesus Christ. If you accept him to come into your heart and take care of the things that you think are hidden. Because there's things that we hide, but they can't be hidden from God. Why? Because he knows the amount of hairs on your head. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. He knows where you're going before you go. He knows. And once we come to that point where we say, Lord, I am naked before you, but I've been covered. I've been covered by the grace of Jesus Christ. So he's sending me a message, you see. Romans 10, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they do not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own. If you think about that portion of scripture, they seek to establish their own. So I want to do it, Lord, my way. Now, there's a song I could sing, but I promised last week I wouldn't. I want to do it my way, but we should do it his way. But we don't want to do it his way because his way will say stop. His way will say repent. His way will say forgive. His way will say give, be generous. His way will say do. His way will say stop. His way will say no. His way will say yes. But the times where we don't want him to say no, and the times we don't want him to say yes. Since they did not know the righteousness of God, they sought to establish their own. Here's the thing. If you're a Christian, you should know the righteousness of God. You're made right through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. It's a gift of grace. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law. So whatever what I've been saying is summed up in this portion of scripture. It's not my words, they're his words. It says this, they sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law. He's the fulfillment of the law. So that there may be righteousness for who? Everyone who believes. If you believe, there's a righteousness, a right standing that will push fear out. Because fear tries to paralyze, but righteousness will enable you to thrive and to function. Christ is that culmination. Moses writes about the righteousness that is by the law. That's the Old Testament rules and regulations. The person who does these things will live by them. And the truth is they will die by them because they'll be held captive by their own sin. But the righteousness that comes by, the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down. And who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. The word is in your mouth. The word is in your heart. That is the message concerning faith. See, faith is when we choose to believe God's word is true. So when we talk about fear and the Bible says, Jesus says, fear not, then do we take him at his word? When the Bible says, I will never leave you or forsake you, do we take him at his word? When the Bible says, you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you, do we take him at his word? Do we come under the law? Do we come under faith? Faith will set us free from fear. Fear is only fatal if it's final. But Jesus says it's not fatal because it's not final. Because I have the last word, says the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, it says this, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And I read this at funerals all the time, but there's a truth to this. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. That's what separates us from God. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You see, we have to come by faith. We have to take this journey knowing that as fear comes to paralyze us, as fear comes to say you'll never achieve anything, faith comes not in your words, not you saying, I can, therefore I can. Your faith comes in what he's already said about you, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's already said, I hung on a cross so that you could live. I died so you could live life and life in all its fullness. But there are times where we listen to the words of the negative man and woman in our life, the circumstance, the situation. Now, I don't say this as a violin thing. You know my story if you've been in church any length of time. I am severely dyslexic. I never read a book in my life apart from the Bible. And I listened to the Bible. I had struggled with reading. I struggled with writing. I struggled with the things that most people find easy. But you know what? When God got hold of me and I said, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. I want to know you. He came to live with inside me and then he worked through me. And the things I used to be fearful about, I still get anxious about. But it doesn't paralyze me. Why? Because I keep going. Why? Because I lay hold of what God has said about me. And you can be the same. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Can you say that to yourselves? When you're in that position where you're walking through that woodland and talking to yourself. He that is in me is greater than he that is in. Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet. Lord, there'll be no darkness. Why? Because there's light within me. And where there's light, there can be no darkness. That's not just words, that's truth. Therefore, brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. You know, stand firm in your faith. We could take a message, a simple message on fear, fear not, fearfulness, anxiety, whatever it is that paralyzes us, and we can go off in other tangents. But the truth is, God's word is alive and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It is going to speak to somebody. It's going to speak to you today. It's going to speak to someone who listens online. It's going to speak to us because maybe today we're not fearful, but tomorrow we might be. Why? Because we're in the world. But if you know God's word, you will say we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're of the kingdom. And God says, fear not. Don't allow fear to paralyze you. If I smiled when Susan read this scripture because it's in my notes to read today. And I hope you bear with me because I want to get through these scriptures because I believe it's an important message for us as Christians because we know the word. We know that what the word says, fear not. But I suggest most of us, if not all of us, we're fearful at times. When our children go off and do their own thing, we're fearful at times. But it's not a paralyzing fear. It's a healthy fear at times, because we're going, God, go with them. Lord, protect them. You know, the Bible talks about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes? You know, where you have that Old Testament picture where there's the avenging angel, darkness is coming over the people, and God gave an instruction to his people, and he said, listen, I want you to sacrifice the lamb. I want you to take the blood and put it in the bowl. Take the hyssop, dip the hyssop in the bowl and apply it over the doorpost, and the avenging angel, the darkness, will pass over. Do you know that truth is still there today? It's not the blood of goats. It's not the blood of livestock. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that still covers us, so that we can sit under that covering and not fear the avenging angel. And do you know what? When we pray for our family, God listens. When we pray for our loved ones, God listens. When we pray for miracles, God listens. There'll be times where we're afraid because we think, God, you haven't heard me. But the Bible says, if you belong to him, he does hear you. The only thing that will separate you from God is sin. And that sin has been dealt with on the cross. And if you've confessed your sin, then you've invited Jesus to come in. Yes, you will walk a journey where you need to be right with him, but you'll not be paralyzed by what the world does, because you'll be covered by his blood. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Can we say that today? If this is true, you can say this: the Lord is Susan's shepherd, she lacks nothing. Because it's okay for Susan, because she's smarter than me. She's not, I'm going to say taller, but she's not. She's taller than me. She has more of a profound attitude. No, this is for you. This is for me. This is personal. God didn't say here in the psalm, the Lord is someone else's shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And there's times I think I don't have enough of this, or I don't have enough of that. But God says, you lack nothing. Everything you need, Andrew, I've provided. Come sit at my table. I've given you to eat of my goodness. So I can say this, and I want you to say it. If fear has paralyzed you, or fear is stopping you from doing something, or it's not about you, it's about someone else, you're afraid on their behalf, the Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Just picture what that means. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, or the valley, I will not fear no evil. You know, I say this quite regularly when I read this out. It says, even though I walk through. But there are times as Christians, we don't walk through. We sit and we stop and we go, woe is me and happy is woe. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says walk through. It's a journey. Fear will cause us to be paralyzed and stay in the valley, where faith compels us to go forward even though we feel afraid. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. And then why, you could ask. And God answers, for you are with me. It's not my words when I said he'll never leave you or forsake you. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, that's to guide and direct. That's to protect and that's to steer. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So just picture this. You're walking through the valley. God's behind you, keeping an eye on you. The Bible says he's behind you, he's beneath you, he's around you. He puts a hedge around us. Does it mean that bad things won't happen to good people? No. You will suffer. The Bible says you will suffer. But be of good cheer. I'm with you. I'll not give you more than you can bear. See, there's a process to this Christian living. But the thing I want to say is that we don't need to fear the evil one, because he's been dealt with. We just need to stand. We don't need to fight the battle. God's already won it. We need to stand. We need to stand in the armor that God has given us, using the word that he's given us. That's the sword of the Spirit. That's the word of God. So I want to encourage you as I bring this to a close, in the sense that we have a few scriptures that I might not get through. In 2 Timothy 1, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. In other translations, does not make us fearful. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. But we don't feel powerful, do we? See, if we look at ourselves, we're insignificant at times and small. But if we look at who God's called us to be. Do you know what? I was that man some years ago before I came into full-time ministry, accepted the call of pastoral care into my life. I was in a position where I was working for somebody else, earning a very small amount of money. And then through that circumstance, God opened up a way for me to choose to make a difference. And I went self-employed. And that was a rocky road for the first 2 years. For the first year, my income quadrupled. The second year, it went down to 5% of what I earned. And then the third year, and the fourth year, and the fifth year, it went up and up and up. And this isn't about money. This is about, did God say? And God said, yes, now is your time, and I will be with you. Don't allow fear to stop you from moving forward. What could I lose? Just be out of work for a few months. That's all I had to lose. But fear stopped me from doing it when I was employed. I wasn't confident. I wasn't confident in my ability. I wasn't confident in my own talents. I never had anyone around me to say, you're really good at that, Andrew. Why don't you start a business of your own? Fear stopped me. Fear paralyzed me. And then faith came into my life when I became a Christian. And I said, Lord, all that I have is yours. You said that you will prosper me. You said that no weapon forged against me will prosper. Lord, you said that you'll be with me. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. But I feel afraid. And what could God say to me? He could say, fear not, for I am with you. And when we look at that portion of scripture, it says he follows us. He's like your children. This is one, it's not... Last year, my wife booked the high wires at Gawape. And she said, don't worry, Andrew. You know, there's the little baby one, so you can take Penelope, and then Parker can go on the big one. So I said, okay, I'll go, because I don't like heights. So we get all harnessed up, and Penelope's about this big, Parker's about this big, and then there's me. And then they led us to this tree. And I'm going, we're not going up there, are we? So fear started to, my legs started to go like jelly, because I'm a grown man, but I don't like heights. And as you're going across, once you've made a commitment, you've either got to go forward or say, help. And if you say help, someone will come and get you. But as we're going across, it's moving that way. And that's bad enough. And then it starts to move that way. And I am petrified. And I'm going, Parker, help me. He's my grandson. And I'm fearful, but I didn't allow fear to paralyze me. Now, I'm not kidding when I said I was fearful. But it didn't paralyze me. Why? Because I knew I was safe. Because I was hooked up on a harness. I couldn't fall anywhere. I couldn't do any damage. But there was something inside my brain that was saying, this is not good. And I'm hugging trees going, I don't want to do this. But it didn't paralyze me. So the moral of this story is this. Yes, you may feel fearful, but it's still good if God says, go, go. Take one step at a time. And I eventually got to the end. And I share that because there's times where we will feel anxious. But lean upon God. Look at God's word. Look at what he says. Look at what his word says to you and about you in Acts 16, verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas, they're praying and they're singing hymns. Now, these two individuals are in prison. They've been severely beaten. They're in the inner cell where it's dark and they can't see anything. And they're shackled. And what do they do? If that was me, I'd be pretty afraid. And I'm sure there was fear going through their minds and their hearts. But they start to sing. They start to praise. One of the things I would say to you as a Christian, if you get in that position where you are fearful, you don't know what to say, start to sing. Amazing grace, how great you are that saved a wretch like me. Lord, give me the strength to walk forward. So I hope this makes sense in the way in which I presented it, where fear is not fatal unless it's final, and God says it's not final, for I am with you. Always encouraging you, saying, you can do this, son, you can do this, daughter. Fear not, for I am with you. allow God to encourage you and enable you. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons we have, they have power to demolish the strongholds, to demolish arguments, a petition that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought. And we need to understand this portion of Scripture, because it's so often we're in prison because of what we think. Because what we think, because somebody has said you can't, and yet God says you can. We listen to them, we don't listen to God, and I'm encouraging you to listen to God. You can. You can. You don't need to fight the way the enemy fights. You need to take the thoughts that are negative thoughts and hold them captive and enable them to be put under your feet where God says they are. In Hebrews 13, verse 4, keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Can you say that with confidence? Well, maybe you couldn't, but now you can. If you understand what God says and don't listen to what the enemy says, you can say today, so I say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. That's a decision we take. I will not be afraid. What can mortals do to me? I have other scriptures, but I'm going to leave it there. I'm just going to tell you one story that I've told before in church about fear and about God's word. What can man do to me? It reminded me of this story, true story. A man named Harry. He died when he was nearly 100 or was 100. But when he was probably in his 70s, he was listening to a radio station, Radio Norfolk, and they said on this radio station that there's a certain strain of flu going around that will kill you if you're in your 70s. At that moment when he heard that, fear came into his heart. And he said to his wife, I've got that. I'm going to die. True story. I'm going to die. And over the weeks and the months, he started to deteriorate until he was bedbound. He was stuck in bed. Here's a man, a godly man, a moral man, a man of courage, yet fear came in and paralyzed him. And the pastor would go round and pray with him. The elders went round and prayed with him. Now, this isn't saying that I have more power than them. I'm just giving you a story. Because God chooses the weak things to confound the wise. And I think Susan was with me. We went in. No, I was on my arm. I went in and Dorothy says, he'll be glad to see you. And I walked in. And there in front of me was this pitiful man. And I sat there and didn't know what to say. And I just started to cry. I looked at this godly man who was paralyzed by fear. And I just wept. And he looked at me and he said, Andrew, you believe me, don't you? I said, I believe you believe you're dying, yes. And I'm scrambling for a Bible message. You ever done that? I go, give me one. Go and hang yourself. No, give me another one. Right? So I found this portion of scripture that says, what can man do to me? And I said, Harry, listen to this. True story, honestly. And I read this portion of scripture and I said, and what can man do to you? He said, Dorothy, get me a pen. He wrote the scripture down. He got out of bed and he died at 100. See, fear can paralyze us if we enable fear to be final. But God says it's not final. Why? Because I'm with you. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness, your grace. Lord, take away the me in this message and leave the goodness, the anointing of the message. Leave the power of the message to enable us to know that fear is not fatal unless it's final. And you say it's not final. So you say, I can, when the enemy says you can't. Lord, take away the words in people's lives that have been spoken into them that are not of you. We cast them aside and we lay hold of what you say about us, fearfully and wonderfully made. Encourage us, Lord, to walk a life that we are fearful of you, that we always be afraid that we can't hear you or see you. We won't allow sin to separate us from you. But Lord, let us not be fearful of man, not be fearful of circumstances, not be fearful of I can't, not be fearful of not trying to do the things that you've enabled us to do. But Lord, give us a spirit of faith. We ask in Jesus' name. And we all said, Amen. If we invite our worship team back.